Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, welcome back. Yes, this is the Doggy Pod again. I hope you enjoyed the last episode in this season, the Doggy Tales. No, it's not really Doggy Tales, it's Vet Tales, isn't it?
It's Vet Tales we're calling this.
We're going to be talking about all things that have happened to me over the years of being a veterinarian and a student as well.
Because Dr. Rob has been a vet for a very, very long time.
He's a very, very old man.
Well, no, he started young and he's done a lot. So I'm Stephen Peters, his producer, and in today's episode we are doing a vet's life, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And there is some ugly, which we'll get to shortly.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think a lot of people think, I would love to be a vet because you're just working with animals and you're making them better and you're saving lives. And you know, I'm sure that's the good part.
It is, but even in the good, there's a lot of hard work, and that's forgotten often. You know, I have students come to us because we are a teaching hospital for some universities, and we do have a lot of students. I always ask the question, what drove you to being a vet? I get stunned that these days I sometimes hear, I didn't know what to do, so I just thought I'd do this.
And I didn't know what to do, so I thought I'd become a vet.
I'm serious. I've heard that said. And
jeez. No, but it takes years to become a vet.
It does, and it's little wonder that these sort of people are out by 5 years. You know, they finish their course and they start working, think, oh, this is not what I thought it would be, and they're out.
Which is long hours.
Very long hours, very physical work as well.
Really?
And I don't mind any of that. That's all good. I mean, there is an ugly side to that. Because it takes away from your family and it makes social life very difficult. Number of Christmas dinners or even weddings, I've had to leave early or whatever it is because of some animal in need has been quite arduous through my life and arduous for my family to accept that all of a sudden dad's off again. You know, the kids are often seeing that and just the way it is, unfortunately. But it's good too because at the end of that, hopefully you've helped an animal in some very definite way. And I think that's the big thing with veterinary science. It is a science. It's not like we don't sit behind a desk and talk to people about the history of their health and write a prescription for some drugs or write a referral. Yeah, no, we're not doctors, human doctors. We actually are scientists because dogs aren't going to talk to us. We get whatever history we can from the owner. And then we have to rely on all our senses. You know, touch, of course, is very important. Feeling things, palpating things, listening to both the owners and the dog. You know, just listening to the dog with our stethoscopes, but also just listening to the dog by just watching it and letting it talk to you. And they do. They, for me, dogs do talk to me. You have to do all those things. Look at various, you know, aspects down the ears and eyes and observe things. You've got to be very observant as a veterinarian.
But it's funny that you should say that. I know it makes sense, and of course we all get it. But yeah, the big difference between you and a doctor is, of course, the patient can tell a doctor what's wrong with them.
Yep.
And you're relying on the owner of the dog to kind of interpret what they think is wrong with the dog, which is why they brought it in the first place.
Oh, yeah, you often get the client, okay, yeah, what's wrong with your dog? I don't know, you're the vet, you tell me.
why are you here?
Yeah. And he's not himself. Oh, who is he then?
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, that's a lot of investigative work that you have to do, I would think.
And so it becomes difficult. And then you've got to balance that with costs as well. If you want to run a lot of tests these days, which you can do, you know, we've got fantastic facilities that you can run a lot of tests on dogs and do all sorts of even MRIs and CT scans and so on, but it all costs money. Mm. So, you know, people have to think about when they get a puppy these days, should I do pet insurance? Because if you want all those things or need any of those things in the future, you'll wish you had pet insurance.
Yeah,
it does help a lot. So.
But it must be absolutely most wonderful feeling to save a dog's life, or any animal, but particularly a dog, to know that you're the one who did that.
Oh, look, yeah, I had a case recently where this poor animal was trying to give birth and she was had been screaming in pain. The owners couldn't get any help because it was after hours. They finally got on to us. We do run a 24-hour service, and they brought the female over. The puppy was well and truly stuck. It was wedged in. We had to knock the female out, do an episiotomy to get that pup out, and then a caesarean for all the other pups.
Mm.
And we got them all out alive. And just bring these, what should have been almost a dead pup that was stuck, into the world and getting it to live, and then getting all the other pups out alive. It's an amazing feeling in itself. And what was truly incredible for me, I try not to, once the pups are born, the female's awake, we just put them down on the female if we can, get them to have a drink even before they leave the clinic. And I swear to you, this female just looked at me with soft eyes to say thank you. And so I knelt down next to her face and she just licked me. It was just, oh gosh, you know, I melted. it's just amazing when... It was like she knew I'd helped her. It was just the most amazing feeling. When you get that, it is very, very satisfying.
But how many, like, over the course of a week, if you're, you know, working 5 days a week or 6 days a week, you know, how many times do you have, not obviously quite that dramatic, but just other things that you do with a dog where you kind of say to yourself, that was really satisfying. That was worth me turning up today.
Well, look, I wasn't on duty last weekend, but I kept popping in. I always do. Can't get out of the place. And there was Dr. Galvin, Kieran Galvin. He's an Irishman. He'd have to be with Kieran Galvin. Eh? Lovely man. And the first time I came in, he had a dog that was seizuring from eating snail bait. And... He said, bring the other dog, go home, get they left the other dog at home. And they said, he's not seizing. Don't wait for him to seize.
He will be seen, yes.
So they went and got that dog. He's fixing that up. I went out with Oggy for a little while, came back in. Now that dog, the two dogs were stabilised. And he had a dog that needed a caesarean section again. Yeah, just boom, he was in there doing that. Mm. Saved that dog. And again, I just went out for a bit of a walk and came back in later on. And he was doing a bloat case. It turned out to be a foreign body, a cloth caught inside the dog.
Yeah.
And so, and it was strange because on the Friday before I had that very thing, which we showed on Bondi Vet, a dog with a cloth foreign body stuck inside it. We filmed it for Bondi Vet. So we see these things frequently. Maybe we are a very busy practice, to be honest, and we do see a lot of... cases because we also do a 24-hour emergency service, so we're seeing these emergencies coming in very often. The weirdest thing, of course, was a couple of weekends ago. We're in the middle of winter here at the moment in where we live, and yet we had a snake bite. You know, like
That's very unusual.
What self-respecting snake's going to be out in winter? But there it was. It was a red-bellied black snake.
And ooh,
again, the vet that was on duty saved that dog's life. And without help, that dog would have definitely died. In fact, all those dogs, all those cases I've just mentioned, the dogs would have died.
So it's fair to say that every week there are really satisfying parts of the job that you just think, this is why I studied and this is why I am a vet.
Yeah, we're not just... I mean, look, we like to vaccinate because it prevents the bad things. So we see those. We see the de-sexings. So we're not overbreeding animals in society. We do all the routine things as well.
Yeah.
And they're not boring. Yeah, if you take a de-sexing, it's just a routine thing. And it's not. It's a major surgery. People think de-sexings are... It's a major surgery.
Invasive surgery.
If a female human goes in for a hysterectomy, that person's told, do not hang washing up for 3 months. We've got to do it, and the dog's got to be back to normal within a couple of weeks. And we don't just do a hysterectomy, we do an ovarohysterectomy. We remove the ovaries and the uterus.
And often, obviously, in very small dogs.
Oh, then that's microsurgery.
Yes,
just unbelievable. So, yeah, it's not an easy task. And in the very big dogs, you're trying to make sure you sew everything up absolutely properly because you don't want anything falling apart. And and they're big, weighty dogs with a lot of intestinal weight on the muscles that you've just opened up. So,
what's the smallest dog you reckon you've ever operated on?
Our little chihuahua. We did do a tiny little chihuahua when it was very young, and it had swallowed a we thought was a marble, but it was actually this little it was a round metal thing. When we X-rayed, it was quite strange. We had to go in there and get that out, and that was definitely microsurgery. Honestly, trying to get this.
What about the biggest breed you've ever had to operate on?
I guess the Irish Wolfhounds, Great Danes, those sort of dogs. Not uncommon in our practice. We've had a lot of big dogs. We do a lot of big dogs in our practice.
Yes, I know. But you would need your nurses to help you out, like physically pick that dog up and put it on the table. Wouldn't
and
you?
That's why I've got a bad back.
Because you're talking about an animal that weighs 20 kilos maybe, or
yeah. It's oh no, the Great Dane, you're talking 60, 70, 80 kilos.
Oh, wow, okay.
They're big dogs, Irish Wolfhound, 60, 70, 80 kilos, some
jeez.
Of those. So 20 kilos is a big dog, but it's just, say, a large cattle dog would be 20 kilos. Not even large, a cattle dog would be 20 kilos. Kelpie's around 16 kilos.
Yeah.
So a Labrador would be 30 kilos, 28, 30 kilos.
Do you hang out much with other vets?
We sort of do. In fact, we had a big reunion of the vets from my year, 45 years of being veterinarians. And, we do talk, talk the bull, shoot the bull quite a bit.
And for people who may not know, but probably most do, Dr. Rob also appears on Bondi Vet, the TV series, and does a lot of regular work for that show, don't you?
Yeah, and it's not on TV anymore. It's actually on YouTube.
Yeah, it does Facebook. Really well on YouTube and Facebook. Yeah,
don't see it much. Don't see the modern ones, the more recent ones on TV.
Apparently, it does better on YouTube and all the social media sites than it ever did on television.
Correct.
Which is good.
So
yeah.
It's all on there. If you want to see some of those things, by all means, we did a live cesarean cross once. Yeah, they came in, it was a cesarean we knew was going to happen. And
we did a doggy pod live cesarean cross once.
Where did they get the idea from?
Yeah, exactly, long before then, yes. And that ran on our Facebook page. So there's lots of rewarding.
Oh, very much so, very much. And then there's the other side, the bad side.
So, okay, so that's the good. Now talk about the bad.
Oh, the worst. Yeah,
well, obvious ones,
it's funny, I often... I remember once I was doing anal glands on the dog.
Apparently the smell is pretty...
Oh, the smell. And bad. If it gets on you, if you make a mistake and it squirts the wrong way and it just doesn't come off for the rest of the day, you really got to go and shower and change clothes because that will stay with you. The oil inside those anal glands is very tenacious and very malodorous. Yes, stinks like crazy. But... I was doing these anal glands, and this guy said, "Oh, it must be the worst job." I said, No, it's not.
No.
It's not.
I think we all know what the worst
job is. It's been the worst job for me since I really entered the profession as a student, and still is the worst job. Yeah, your dog just trusts you. And I'm not talking my dog, I'm talking about the owner's dog still trusts me. And I pick up its paw and I will take a little bit of hair off the leg and my nurse will raise its vein and I will place a needle into the vein and pull back and the blood mixes with the green solution, the red blood mixing with the green solution. It all goes black and these black clouds tell you what's about to happen as far as I'm concerned, and you start pushing the solution into their veins. And
it's obviously painless for the dog.
It is, but there's a stiffening just before it happens.
But they would know. Dogs sense as well.
They just look at you as if to say, I don't know if they're saying thank you or not. I don't think so. Look, Stephen, I'll tell you now, I remember them all.
Going to say, when you were a young vet,
yeah.
Do you remember the very first time you had to do that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I certainly do. I remember the very first one too well. Yeah. And I remember others way, way too well. They stick in my nightmares more than I ever want to. It's the worst part for me of veterinary science. And it's becomes worse when it's, you know, sometimes you get the people just, oh, I'll leave the dog and see you later. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Sometimes you get the people that... Well, it's a healthy dog, and I don't want it. Just want to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, that's the wicked part about microchips. In the old days, I'd say, "Yeah, we'll put it down. You go," and we didn't.
You didn't
all the time. I'll be honest. So sue me.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We'd find a good home for it. But now with microchips, you can't do that anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, if you...
Oh, they deregister it, do they? Or?
Well, you know, the microchip, if they don't deregister it and stays in that... original owner's name, if the dog happens to get out. And, hang on.
I paid you to put
this dog down, and it's still alive. What happened?
A bit of a legal problem.
Legal battle. So it becomes, you've got to try and ask them, can I keep the dog? Can I find a home for the dog? No, I want the dog put down. Often people will say that.
Yeah.
They don't want anyone else to have the dog, but they don't want the dog. Can you believe that? And it's a healthy dog. And if you refuse to do it, the concern... And vets do refuse to do it. No, I'm not going to put a healthy dog down. I've heard too many stories where the dog gets bludgeoned to death or shot. And, it's... You're better off just accepting it and doing it for the dog's sake, even though it hurts like crazy when it's a good, healthy dog. It's hard enough. For me, the older the dog gets, the harder it is for me, even though... They're very old. They're in need of
There must be times where the dog's in pain.
There's nothing else I can do for this dog. It's got cancer or whatever. it hurts. It hurts like crazy. I promise you, it really does. It's one of the reasons I've enjoyed living where I work, because I can, once I put the dog down, I'll often go home for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because I have to gather myself before I go back.
I mean, that would for, I'm guessing for all vets, never be routine, would it?
No, you might learn to accommodate it. You never want to get used to it.
Yeah.
I'll never be used to it. And unfortunately for me, and for my clients, I tell them I'm not good at this because I haven't learned to accommodate it. And there are times when I'm in the room. I think one time the client was consoling me. You see these. Understand, we've seen some of these animals since they were puppies, and I've seen them right through their life.
Yeah, that would be super hard.
And then, I've seen all the good things with those pups, and then I have to do that when they're older. It's tough. It's like, because the other thing is, I often say to clients, okay, you can take my dog home, but look after him, he's my dog. They become my dog, especially when I've saved their life. Mm. I feel like they're part of me, a part of my dog. And each euthanasia, especially when it's a healthy dog, I feel just takes a little bit of my soul away.
Yeah, but hopefully most of the time it's a dog that's thanking you because it's in a lot of pain.
Exactly.
And as you say, there's nothing that can be done. It might have cancer or whatever it might be. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
tough. That's the other thing. Is the other big problem is, when is it time to put my dog down? That's what people often ask me. The first thing I say to them, because you dare ask that question, you will know in your heart when it's time. But the things to look for when the dog can't get up to go out to the toilet, dogs hate losing their dignity. Don't let them lose their dignity. So when they can't get up to go to the toilet, it's time. When they can't get up to go to the food bowl, when they don't want to eat, those sort of things.
They're just not enjoying life.
It's just too much pain to get up. It's too much pain to walk around. It's time.
Mm.
They're the things I look for. But by the same token, dogs will do sometimes more than they should. And if they're walking around and showing a lot of pain, it's time. Don't wait for them to suffer more because they can't get up. Just don't wait for that. Because often that's what people say, well, look, he's not too bad. He's not crying out. And I'll say, he's suffering. All we're waiting for is for him to cry out. We're waiting for him to suffer more.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
that's tough. That's the bad. That's the real bad. The ugly.
Yeah, on behalf of dog owners everywhere, Dr. Rob, we salute you and every other vet in the world for doing something that we can't imagine us ever having to do.
Not everyone salutes us.
Let's get to the ugly, because I'm sure you've got a couple of ugly stories, probably most of them involving dog owners.
It's the owners. The dogs are never ugly. I mean, dogs will try and eat me and try and attack me sometimes because they've not been socialised properly.
Yes.
But it's not the dog's fault. It hasn't been socialised properly. It's the owner's fault. But the ones that get... I mean, we know when the owner comes in, the first thing he says to you, oh, he doesn't bite. Well, a dog that doesn't bite, owners never think to say that. When they say, oh, he doesn't bite, you think, oh, he bites.
Because, why mention it?
Yeah, you wouldn't even think to mention it with a friendly dog. But it's the owners. I mean, I understand being emotional about the dog. Trust me, I understand it. Hey, I got Italian genes.
do they dispute emotions. your prognosis, though?
I don't mind that either. I don't mind them disputing my diagnosis or prognosis. I don't mind them giving another opinion. All of those things. But sometimes it's the manner they do that. Or the worst thing is, they're very rude to the girls out the front, to the receptionist, very rude to the nurse. Oh, but they're all lovey-dovey to the veterinarians. Doesn't cut it for me. Okay. We're equal. My staff are equal. My nursing staff, my kennel staff, my receptionists, they're above me, not equal. I think they're above me. They do better work than I do. And they deserve to be respected. We had to put a notice up. Especially just after COVID, where people seem to have lost respect for each other. We put a notice up saying that this clinic just doesn't accept that sort of behaviour, and if you do that type of thing...
What, being rude?
Rude or, very rude. You have no idea.
Really? Come on, give us some dirt. Okay,
I'm going to give you one of the worst ones.
Okay, what's an example?
We had two clients... arguing, and you know, one of them's about, I don't know what they were even arguing about now, I can't even tell you. Mm-hmm. But outside, one of them turns around and drops her pants and shows her ass to the other client. We have it on camera because we have security cameras.
And you don't know what they were arguing about.
I have no idea what the argument was about, but did you have to be that rude that you... Yeah, kiss my ass.
Better to do it outside than in the clinic, I guess.
We've had that sort of thing. We've had that type of thing very often.
You must have had owners who are unhappy with just the fact it's going to cost this much money and that's just what it is, I'm sorry.
That's very often the thing, and I've been accused many times of doing it just for the money, and I think, come and have a look at my wages.
Yes, anybody that knows you would not say that.
Oh, I've been accused of doing it for money. Probably one of the worst ones I ever had was this, not clients, and it was a time when we were doing emergencies only for our own clients. These were not clients, but the puppy had passed blood from its bottom, so it was in a lot of trouble. And I said, yep, come in. So the young girl came in with a guy in tow, and he, of course, had a beer in his hand while he was...
Yeah, classy.
Very, very respectful. So we went to the consult room, white gums, had a history of passing blood. I said, look, it's most likely a bad viral infection. I'll take him in, we'll put him on the drip, we'll watch him through the night. We may have to take some x-rays. I'm telling him all the costs and that. Yeah. The guy said, no, just give him the needle. I said,
no.
I said, what needle? He said, the needle. I said, what, to put him down? No, the needle will make him better. I said, what needle is that? This guy wanted to physically fight me because really? I wouldn't give the dog the needle.
Whatever needle that might be.
Whatever needle it was. And I said, look, I think you... And I said, look, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this to your puppy, but I think you guys better leave. Oh, and really? He was outside and he started causing so much problems I had to call the police.
No. What is wrong with people?
Oh, aggression. And he's an aggressive drunk. This guy, he was obviously...
Who brings a beer to the vet clinic? It's not a bad idea now that you mention it, but...
In the waiting room while you're waiting for a long time.
Sometimes, you can
no
be there.
No appointment, I'm waiting around. So, but it can get very, very ugly. I've had to call the police a few times for people like that, that want to be aggressive for whatever reason. I understand the emotions taking over, because of the love of your pet, but... Veterinarians, veterinary nurses, veterinary receptionists, kennel staff, all those people are trying to help your dog or your cat or whatever it is. They're just trying to help, and they're doing their best to help you.
Mm.
For you to take it out on them because, and that's the other thing, of course, people don't accept that their pet might die. Yeah, pets do die. Animals die. Mm. That's part of life.
We all die, mate.
That's the only certainty, but people don't accept that. And so all of a sudden you're saying... this dog's going to die. Or, look, the worst ones are where you don't expect them to die. You think they're going to be okay, and then overnight the dog does die, or during the day the dog does die. It happens for whatever reason, and the post-mortem usually shows you a reason.
Have you ever had clients that, how can I say this, are just not pleasant people?
Fortunately, we're at the stage now where, for us, when they're not pleasant and they continue not to be pleasant, we can tell them not to darken our doorway. But I'll tell you one story.
Mm-hmm.
I had I won't mention the breed. They went to Sydney University and the university said, it's a reproduction case. Go and see Rob Zammit out at the vineyard. So
they wanted to reproduce
puppies. So yeah, they came in and I did my little song and dance routine and tap dance and I got this bitch pregnant. And... during the pregnancy, she got bloat. So they raced to the university because that was the closest place. And the surgeon was out doing another case on horses because it was the university out west.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we just don't have a veterinary surgeon at the moment on duty here. And so they said, right, we'll go to Zammit. So I got a phone call. I was off that day. They were coming in. It was a Sunday. And the vet was inundated with consultations and... It was the bitch that was pregnant, and she's got bloat. So I said, I'll come over. I went over, opened her up, and I said, look, she's very advanced pregnancy, and it's interfering with the stomach. I need to de-sex it. No, this litter is very important to us. But we might lose a litter. If we lose the bitch, we'll lose everything. Yeah. No, this litter is very important to us. You cannot de-sex her.
So risk the life of the dog.
So I did what I could, which wasn't everything. I normally like to sew the stomach up to the side of the abdominal wall. I couldn't do that because the pregnancy was in the way. But I emptied the stomach out. We did a lavage. We did everything else. We saved the bitch. We saved the puppies. They didn't abort. The bitch then had to have a cesarean after hours. They didn't go to the university. They came straight to us, and we did an after-hour cesarean. Later on, we vaccinated all the puppies. It was pre-microchipping days.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they just hadn't paid the bill yet for any of these things.
Oh, really? This has been going on for a while now,
Some months. And the bitch got bloat again. They took her to the university, and the university said, oh, she hasn't had a gastropexy. And
Which is
sewing the stomach up to the side. Like I said, we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, these people went to fair trading.
Oh.
Hang on, the story gets worse. So I had to front fair trading. And
which is a government authority, by the way, for people.
Yes. And the bill now is around about $10,000. And fair trading said, well, look, you two have to go and talk about it first in some room and then come back and may have to have another court date. By now, I was producing a lot of stomach acid thanks to this case and losing a lot of sleep. We go into the room. The first thing that the woman says is, oh, and it was a really hot day, I'll never forget this. If you drop the bill, we'll drop the case. And you know what I did, Stephen? I dropped the bill.
I bet you did.
But wait, there's more. And people, you're not going to believe this one. We're going out of the court or whatever it is. It is court. So you're going out of the court. And it was an older woman. She said, oh, where are you parked? And she's talking to me. I said, oh, I'm just parked out there. Oh, I've had to park down there. Can I get a lift from you?
No. So after she's just tried to screw you, screwed you.
And I said, yes, I'll give you a lift. So there's more.
You're too good.
Wait, there's more. I'm giving this old lady a lift, or as a dear old lady, giving her a lift down to her car.
Mm.
And she said, oh, I've got this case of this bitch which I'm having some more trouble with. And I said, well...
What, another one?
Yep. I said, you'll have to talk to your veterinarian. Oh, you're still my veterinarian. She said, I still trust you. I said, you're quite right. A veterinary relationship is built on trust, and I don't trust you anymore.
So good on you.
The next day she tried to make an appointment. We haven't seen her since.
Yeah, good.
Oh, so, yes, you get the ugly, all right. Can you believe that case?
That's
pretty sick.
Hopefully she's irritating somebody else, but that's probably
not irritating me anymore. No, that's all I care about. I hope she's not irritating. I hope she's nice to people and
pays her bills. We hope she learned something from that.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just a taste of the good, the bad, the ugly of the life.
Don't tell me we've wrapped up again.
Yeah, we have wrapped up.
This is going too fast, Stephen. We have to think about something else.
There's plenty of time, and there's plenty more episodes of the Doggy Pod coming your way very soon. So keep an eye out, and keep an eye out on our socials, on Instagram and Facebook, particularly Instagram, because we post a lot there. And we will see you next time for another episode.
Absolutely. I'm going to go and talk to some nice clients now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.